Welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. This program is devoted to the largest segment of society, to those who've come to realize that every one of the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they have collectively become counterproductive, and that none of them can be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to join in this expose, this discussion of what has failed around our world, it's toll-free, 877-376-45. I promised yesterday that we would cover people's views of the future, and this article suggests that according to the most recent polling, Americans and Europeans are the most pessimistic people in the world regarding the future. And they have every reason to view the future pessimistically. According to Pew Research, the emerging and developing economies are much more optimistic than rich countries about the future. 94% of Vietnamese, for example, think that their children will have a better life than they did. Now, that's really not a evaluation of optimism there. Vietnam was ravaged by a civil war that the United States worsened and has emerged from it, the very domino effect that America predicted, that if we don't engage and sacrifice American lives and prestige and money, that all of Asia will fall and ultimately communism will be at our doorstep. America ended up embracing most aspects of socialism, and China, which we thought would be responsible for promoting communism throughout Asia, ended up adopting the free enterprise system economically. So the antithesis of what America used to justify that war actually occurred. But free of regular bombings, free of American meddling, yeah, the Vietnamese are more optimistic than would have been the previous generation. 85% of Chinese, well, no kidding, Sherlock. What happened in China is a miracle of sorts. It was the ultimate proof that socialism fails and free enterprise prevails. Yes, politically, China is still authoritarian. You can call it communism if you wish, whatever you wish to call the political situation. The economics of China are not communistic. So you can't compare the old adage, you know, there's a battle between capitalists and communists. That just doesn't fly as it relates to China. The Chinese government is, in fact, totalitarian. However, the economy, the economics of China are very much free enterprise. There are fewer restrictions and greater incentives, less taxes, less burdens on productive Chinese, and therefore the fastest growing economy in the world by a huge margin is China. China has gone from really almost irrelevant, which is hard to believe with as many people as they had, that over the last 20 years has climbed to the largest manufacturing base in the world. And the world's second largest overall economy, recognizing that the economy of the United States now is based almost exclusively on manufacturing military hardware and providing services. The Chinese actually make things. So you would expect the Chinese to be optimistic. They have embraced free enterprise, the very system that America has discarded to become a more socialistic government so that there would be more entitlements. And 67% of Indians are also optimistic. That would not be American Indians, but in India. But once again, India has embraced free enterprise. Now, after you leave Vietnam, China, and India, the rest of the world recognizes that things are really bad. In the Muslim Middle East, the vast preponderance of Muslims recognize that their children will be even worse than they are. Now, the plight of their children. And now that's really saying something, because throughout the Muslim Middle East, the plight of this generation, parents, is abysmal. So for their children's plight to be worse than their own experience means that hell is going to get hotter, that the cesspool is going to get slimier, that the destructive and deadly, deceitful and damning effect of Islam is going to become ever more suffocating. Now, the most pessimistic are Europeans and Americans, along with the Japanese. 65% of Europeans and Americans, fully two-thirds of Europeans and Americans, believe that their children will have worse standard of living, less freedoms, less opportunity than they did. In Japan, the number is 80% who recognize that the country is in a downward spiral. Isn't that amazing? Two out of three Americans have come to realize that the institutions that control their cultures, whether they be religious, political, military, or economic, have become counterproductive. Rather than making for a brighter future, they're debilitating. They're working against the people's interest. For two-thirds of those whose primary focus, whose greatest hope would be for a better future for their children than for themselves, two-thirds of those individuals say it just isn't going to be the case. That no matter how hard I work, no matter what I sacrifice to create the opportunity for my children's lives to be better than my own, the institutional forces of society, government, the military, the judicial system, the media, academia, and religious influences are all collectively working against their interest. Not creating a level playing field, not just staying out of the way, actually producing a scenario where it is highly likely that our children will live lives less rich than our own, less free than our own, less productive than our own, less satisfying than our own. And it's true. The purpose of this program is to help you understand why that is the case. We're going to take a little departure here into the world of sports. One of the things that I am particularly opposed to is bringing God into the sports world. For example, recently the NFL said that a penalty on Abdallah, a defensive back for Kansas City, was inappropriate when he got into the Muslim prostration and did a few prostrations in the end zone after an interception bowing to Mecca. I wanted to vomit. When Tim Tebow did his Tebowing and routinely thanked his God for his touchdowns, I wanted to vomit. I went to Southern California. I have all but given up following their football program, mainly because I'm disgusted by the immorality of the NCAA. But nonetheless, I saw an article, and this article reads that Southern California Trojans face the prospect of a second straight stinging defeat, watching another opponent move into position for a gut-wrenching score. No Hail Mary this time. You know, Hail Mary, the prayers to Mary, the Mother of God, the Queen of Heaven, that's the Babylonian rite incorporated into Roman Catholicism. This time the pass was wide right, and it was a sigh of relief for the Trojans. Now, their coach, Steve Sarkisian, who came from Washington, formerly was an assistant coach at USC, he said, "I said to this team, God's got a plan, but we're not exactly sure what that plan is for us yet. He's sure testing our will, our resolve, our leadership, our character. I couldn't be more proud of our team. Just continue to fight." Scott, I ask you, do you think that God has a plan for USC? I mean, it is USC. I'm sure he's a Trojan football fan.
No matter how you phrase it, the answer is no.
Yeah. I couldn't come up with any scenario, could I?
No. I've played sports my whole life, and I've never understood the whole... My whole life, I've never understood the whole, oh, thank God for this and all that stuff.
All the idiot baseball players that do the sign of the cross after they they are before they get up to bat, and if they, and then all of the baseball players that point to the sky thanking God, as football players do too, for their success in a sporting event.
Yeah, out of all the years I've played, I've never had a loss or a win that I couldn't explain by, you know, somebody made a fantastic play themselves, or just, yeah, I've never understood it.
Good break, bad break.
Good break, bad break, bad throw.
Right.
You know, yeah. So I always laugh.
Yeah, I played basketball and football and baseball and golf and I want to tell you, when I was a Christian, I definitely wanted God to help me play better. But I never once could even convince myself that God had anything to do, even when back in the days that I was religious, that anything to do with day-to-day activities. This notion that God's involved in the minutiae of our lives, micromanaging things, making it worse for one person to make it better for another, allowing one person to be infected with a disease and another not, curing one, not curing another, and then to go to the minutiae of sports and saying that I'm going to cause one team to prevail and another team to lose. I go beyond it being moronic. I think it's despicable. That kind of a God is not worth knowing. That kind of a God is pathetic. You know, imagine the stupidity of Sarkisian's comment. That God has a plan for this team. That was it God's plan that USC would have 50 scholarship athletes and the average team 75 to 80? Is it God's plan that USC would lose to the Roman Catholic school? I mean, that's the heartbeat of Satan and Notre Dame. I mean, why would God have anything against Arizona or Arizona State? I mean, I don't get it. You're going to tell me that there are more godly players on USC's team than there were on the opponent? You think that God really sits there above the stands and causes the ball to spin and chooses how it bounces and who recovers a fumble?
Well, by this rationale alone, shouldn't Notre Dame win every game ever?
Well, if Roman Catholicism was an expression of God's will, then yes. But because Roman Catholicism, according to Yahweh, is the heartbeat of evil, that it is the most ruthless beast that has ever been forced on mankind, then, you know, they would lose every game ever.
Yeah, if he cared at all,
he cared at all,
would be the greatest quarterback ever. Doesn't care.
If God was actually involved, there'd be the teams that prevailed would have no Christians, no Muslims, no Roman Catholics, no atheists. they would only be comprised of his covenant children. And since, you know, at any one time, there's probably 7,000 of us, pretty hard to imagine. And, you know, half are women, and we're all different ages. Pretty hard to imagine filling a football team, or that's what God would say, you know, all right, now that you're part of the covenant, part of my family, let's go play football. Say what? You know, I created you so you could think, so let's go play a sport that dumbs you down. Say what?
That's kind of harsh, but...
Well, you know, right now they're saying, you know what the numbers are on football? They're saying that more than one-third of NFL players are likely to have severe repercussions, mental repercussions, as a result of having played football and the head trauma.
Okay. I've played my whole life and I've only had one concussion, and I don't feel like my mental capabilities are mm-hmm. hindered by the sport
okay.
I played.
Well, I'm just telling you, that's the most recent study of the NFL.
Well,
says that a third are going to have a sometime in their life a serious repercussion. It is a very violent game.
With that,
you know, when I played in high school, the about a quarter of my teammates came out of high school football injured. You know, not injuries that they couldn't walk, not injuries that they couldn't think or that sort of thing, but knees and shoulders and that sort of thing, such that high school football was the end of their athletics. You know, it's a pretty rough sport.
It is a rough sport, but if you're going to point to the NFL and say that is the conclusive evidence that, you know, oh, these guys are going to have trouble, so the NFL is what, point maybe 1% of the people that play the sport? Maybe.
Oh, yes, tiny.
Maybe.
Yes, tiny. That's why I mentioned my high school football and how many people get blown out knees and shoulders and breaks of various kinds that are difficult. And it's a tough sport, but that's not the point. The point is that God doesn't get involved in sports.
No,
and if he was going to get involved in sport, it's not going to be a violent sport. You know, that's like saying that during the day that if God could pick a sport, he would pick the gladiatorial contest. No, that would probably be the least favorite sport. You know, today if you were to look at American sports scenes and which one is the most religious, it would clearly be NASCAR. And, you know, in those arenas with the cars banging against each other, it's almost like the Romans with their war chariots as they would race one another. We're pretty well. And while I don't think there's any problem with sports and competition in eternity, violent sports probably not his thing. I just got to get a question for you. Is there any discussion of sports in the Torah?
Not at all.
All right. When Yahweh was choosing to engage in a relationship with Adam, is there any mention of the sports that they played or Yahweh's favorite sport as a form of entertainment in the garden?
No.
Did when Yahweh was designing the ark for Noah, did he install a tennis court, a football field, a baseball stadium?
Not in the versions I've read, no.
No, okay. When Yahweh was choosing the fellow to engage with him to bring his children out of Egypt, was Moshe selected because he was the star quarterback or the slugger in the fourth slot on the baseball team?
No.
No. When Yahushua was picking his disciples, any mention of them being sports heroes?
No. No.
No. Is there any prophecy about how God is going to engage in some international sporting event, and that Team Israel is going to prevail?
No.
Methinks that the likelihood of God having a plan for a sports team is between Slimsky and Nunsky, and Slimsky is in serious trouble. In fact, I think Slimsky's got Ebola.
Yeah, I would say not a chance at all. No chance at all.
Yep. We have, I think it's Rob, who is called in from Michigan that wants to speak about football and injuries. It was a pretty bad week for the NFL this particular week. The injured reserve list takes about a half an hour to go through. But what do you think, Rob?
Well, my experiences with the injuries aren't as myself, but my 19-year-old son, fresh out of high school, he actually got a full-ride scholarship to Concordia, which is a Lutheran college down in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah.
And he's already back home with a back injury.
Oh,
out of place. And we went in there. We were expecting to get a D1 ride, but he blew his knee out in the game of his high school senior, year, and he still was able to get a couple of D colleges looking at him, and he ended up getting a scholarship, but then he got hit.
Yeah. It happens. It happens a lot. Knees, in particular, in football, it's a tough sport. I have a interesting perspective on scholarships and academia. I understand the way that the game's played now. That in the D1 level, particularly, you talk about Ann Arbor, Michigan, with the big house having 9,000 seats, something like that. That you'd offer the kids that provide that product with not only a full academic ride but with a stipend as well. I mean, that certainly makes perfect sense. But after you get past football and men's basketball, there are maybe 20 schools in the country where women's basketball comes close to breaking even. But beyond that, every sport is a net loser for the university. And it really ought to be something that if the university wants to field teams, provide the uniforms, provide the coaches, provide local transportation. But the rest of the scholarship stuff, it ought to be based on academic ability, not on sports ability. These are not sports training camps. They're supposed to be educational institutions. I think we're really screwed up on the whole scholarship thing.
Well, he was a private school that we really couldn't afford. And so they pretty much paid for his scholarship at the private high school. He went to Powers Catholic, and they got him going right at that time. And then he went in on other scholarships, too. He got one. He got for having grades and different things like that.
Yeah, your phone's breaking up, Rob. But the thing that that bothers me as I even look at over the landscape of high school football is private schools providing scholarships for football players, or for in the East, you have other sports like lacrosse that are so popular in the private schools. And they'll provide scholarships to draw in athletes. And, if I were a parent and my kid wanted to play a sport, this idea that this – and I'm paying their tuition, and the idea that the school, because they want to win in a sport, would provide a scholarship that would deprive my son or daughter from being able to play on a team because somebody's giving a free ride just to play, that'd bother me. I'm not comfortable with that. I surveyed the LA Times yesterday over lunch and was looking at their high school rankings of teams in Southern California. And 2/3, 3/4 of the teams were private, with more than half of those being Catholic. And so they're not constrained by the normal rules as to what kids would qualify to attend their school and therefore play for them. And I think that we're doing a lousy job educating, really lousy job, educating young people in high school and college. And this, we're making a mockery of the whole thing through through scholarships for athletics. Now, I want to talk to you about a little bit of a mockery since we're talking about sports. Jameis Winston. We dedicated a better part of a program to him within, when we did sports in the news. He's back in the news for two reasons. One is he has the same, he did a signing of 900 sequentially numbered sports memorabilia items for the same sports memorabilia agent that Todd Gurley, who is now has been withdrawn from Georgia's football team, who's the star player running back for the Georgia Bulldogs. And same agent, same scenario. Now we have Jameis Winston signing 900 sequentially numbered jerseys, helmets, and that sort of thing. Gurley suspended, Jameson not. Jameson has been accused of two sexual assaults. He is being brought up on university charges on for the second sexual assault where his DNA confirmed that he was involved. And he has been involved in thievery from a store, as well as vulgar comments yelled in the center of the university. This is a kid that every place he turns, he's trouble. Why is he still playing?
Well, obviously, you know why. It's millions of dollars to Florida State if he plays and they win.
But what is Florida State going to do to their brand, ultimately, to have it associated with this kid who's treats women as if they're his to abuse? I mean, you can make the case that the Tallahassee Police Department did such a poor job and the university did such a poor job that he got away with, has not been convicted of rape. And that the witness for the second abuse case had some credibility issues along with the Tallahassee police, and therefore he's innocent until proven guilty. But there's an avalanche of bad behavior associated with this kid.
Yep, and he's won a Heisman. How much does a Heisman bring to a university?
Baylor claimed that the Heisman was worth somewhere between $250 million and $500 million in PR for that school. I mean, they got McLean, who was the owner of the Houston Astros, to build them a $250 million football stadium on campus, a palace to football, as a result of the Heisman and the return to prominence of, not return to prominence, actual gaining prominence of that football program,
and
largely because of the Heisman. But
how much
Robert Griffin is a good guy. I mean,
yep.
Robert Griffin's married, responsible. You might not like his Twitter feeds, but, you know, he is a solid citizen. Jameis Winston's a thug. I know that that's a sexually charged comment now, but based on his comments and his behavior, this is a bad boy.
Hear me out. I'm not saying, look, I've already explained my stance on Jameis Winston. I would have nothing to do with him. I would have got rid of him when the first one came up.
Yeah, I would have.
I would look
the first one, by the way, was 2 years prior to this one that he's being reviewed on.
But the one that he's being reviewed on is the one that I would have, because that was the one where he was in school, and I would have said, no, you're done. I'm not playing you. And that would have been last year. But
that was
December
2012, and then a year prior to that, he sexually abused another woman.
Regardless of who won the Heisman, do you think that Florida State didn't gain anything from Jameis Winston? And then throw on top of that
Jimbo Fisher has lost all credibility. Now, I tell you what I would do. If it were me, I would fire Jimbo Fisher as the head football coach of Florida State. I would expel the kid, and I would expel him immediately. It's just way too much on this kid. And I would fire Jimbo Fisher. I'd fire the athletic director. I'd fire the president of the university. I would clean sweep. All of them gone. If I had the authority to do so, I would take everyone who voted for him, knowing that his DNA was linked to the second girl on the sexual assault, and I'd remove their Heisman vote so they couldn't vote in the future. And then I would tell the staff at ESPN, Fox Sports 1, all the sports columnists, you just stop talking about this kid.
But it's not you. And that, no. What you just said is an actual that would be an actual reasonable approach to
moral,
take,
but a moral response.
But it's not you. And Florida State has already gotten millions, hundreds of millions of dollars off him for the Heisman, hundreds of millions, or even hundreds of millions more for the national championship. And no matter what, regardless of what happens to him now, they still have all that money. They still keep all that money.
You look at how Charlie Strong, the new football coach that replaced Mack Brown at Texas, where there's 7, 8, 9 kids that he's taken off that football team because they did not treat women appropriately, because they were not honest in their endeavors. And I'll tell you what, I take him over Florida State. So, Scott, during the break, I proposed a hypothetical. And the hypothetical was that you've got Charlie Strong, who's got a horrendous record, maybe the worst start in Texas football in recent memory. But he has a standard. In fact, he says the kids, top thing on the standard is you treat women with respect. Next is that you're an honorable individual. Your word is your bond. You tell the truth. And he kind of goes down. These are the things that we expect. You don't mess with drugs. He's got a series of standards. You violate that standard, you're off the football team. And he's released, 8, 9, 10 kids.
I think it's up to, 12, something like that.
Okay, right? Yeah, 12 kids. 12 kids. All right. And then you've got Jimbo Fisher over there at Florida State. This he's got a quarterback that he's standing behind that is, at the very least, guilty of sexually abusing two women. He doesn't, didn't say rape two women, but he was so aggressive with two women.
He did something wrong.
They left the university. They contacted the police, that they were horrified and still stigmatized over the experience of having sex with him.
Definitely right. Questionable. Something
all right.
Questionable
and he's, right. And he's, he's no problem. He got caught stealing. He got caught screaming obscenities, degrading women. And he is very likely guilty of taking money for autographs. All right. Now, you have a daughter. I know you don't, and I don't either. Hypothetically, we both have a daughter. She is college age. And while you want your daughter to get a good education, your primary concern is you want your daughter to be safe where she's going. Would you consider sending her to Florida State?
No.
No. Would you consider sending her to Texas?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So who has done a better job for their program? Jimbo Fisher or Charlie Strong?
Well, for me personally, it's Charlie Strong.
Me too.
If I don't have a daughter.
Me too.
See, I used to like Florida State. Up until this Jameis Winston thing, I used to like him. I thought they had great tradition.
Yeah, I thought Bobby Bowden was a class act. He was the former football coach of Florida State.
A lot of my favorite players came out of, growing up, came out of Florida State. I like their tradition. And how they've handled Jameis Winston has ruined that for me. So I wouldn't send any kid I ever had to Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State reminds me really of Miami. Miami was always so slimy. I know that the NFL players that came out of Miami still are all excited about having gone to the U. But, man, just so much backdoor slime.
Here's the big issue.
Yeah.
Is that Florida State can keep Jameis Winston on the field and they can keep playing him until enough people have moral outrage to step right. up and say something. And yeah. that's not happening.
So no, that particularly on your happening. Fan base. Yeah, if you yeah. read the comments on the articles posted about Jameis Winston, it'll make you want to puke.
Exactly. And that's not happening. So it makes no sense for Florida State to take a moral stance right now with Jameis Winston, because if they take him out, they're going to start losing games. And if they
well, they find Notre Dame this weekend.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is that until enough people feel the same way that you and I do, to where this guy needs to be taken off the field, yeah. it's the same thing.
I can't feel this
right?
way about this kid when last year, he was being considered for the Heisman, and this story came out. There were lots of very lengthy reports on what the police knew, what the university knew, what the woman had said occurred, what Winston said occurred. There were copious, very long documents outlining this particular case.
They had two eyewitnesses.
I was curious. I read all of them.
Two of his teammates
were
there.
Yeah, and I was convinced that the likelihood of him abusing this woman sexually, of treating her inappropriate sexually, was very near 100%, and the likelihood that he actually raped her was at least in the 60 to 70 percentile. Enough to know that no one should have voted for him for Heisman.
He had two teammates there.
Yes, one took pictures.
They had two teammates in the room. He had two teammates in the room when it happened. Those two teammates got suspended.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. So yep. he must have did something bad enough to get two other guys suspended that weren't even doing it.
Yeah.
So, but until enough people stand up and say, this is outrageous, this guy's got to be taken yeah. off the field, they're not going to do it.
I'm going to hold ESPN hugely responsible because they continue to talk about this this kid favorably. And it ought not be done. Somebody should just say, I'm not going to ever mention his name again.